This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Good yawning this morning. Welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is Monday, the 23rd of January, 2023, and you are on the clock with Erin Green. On the clock, we engage organizations, institutions, social and cultural leaders, and ordinary people to better understand the impact of public policy, private sector development, and emerging social and consumer trends. On the clock, we have conversations that help us understand and navigate a rapidly changing Bahamas. It's Monday. How are you doing? I'd love to do an open line style show this morning. Call in. Tell me what you think are the most important issues we should be talking about. Now, on the issue of migration, I plan on talking about migrant issues, government issues related to migration and other services on Wednesday on our On the Clock Guardian Radio AM Man Down Mashup Wednesday show. I heard some exciting things happened this weekend. By exciting, I don't mean like Disneyland roller coaster exciting. I mean like what incarnation is happening, exciting. And I just want to remind Bahamians of the importance of the rule of law. If you are not a police officer, do not attempt to engage or detain people and pretend that you have the authority given by the state to detain, to interrogate people. Don't ask them for their ID. Don't ask them for their personal details and information. That's just madness. And it's madness that people of African descent, people whose ancestors would have been enslaved, that people of European descent or mixed heritage, mixed ancestry, right, whose ancestors lived through various forms of oppression, including colonialism, along with the descendants of Africans. It's not on, and it's unacceptable. It just isn't. And it's time we start demanding that Bahamians do what they know they should do when they know they should do it. I ain't talking about the politicians, because I demand that every day. I'm talking about us regular, ordinary, everyday citizens who know right from wrong and who know better and who know that the mark of an adult is to do what you know you ought to do when you know you ought to do it. And it's time for us to turn to our brothers and sisters and demand that we start moderating our own behavior and doing what we know we should do when we know it should be done. It's a wide range of behaviors, of spaces in which we can moderate our behavior. I talk about a couple of them today. I see I got a caller on the line. Just before I get to you, caller, the numbers to call are 323-6232. That's 323-6232. 325-4316. That's 325-4316. And 325-4259. Also, remember the text line is powered by BTC. It's 422-GR96. That's 422-4796. Let's go to the phone line. When we're done with this caller, I want to look at the Prime Minister's statements at the most recent Business Outlook Conference. Good morning, caller.
Morning, Aaron. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. How you do?
I'm fine, thanks. I just want to say, offer my take on, you said that, would you feel like government should be concentrating on or something pertaining to that?
Right. So in the Business Outlook, two headlines from last week. Davis outlines agenda for 2023. And in the Tribune, PM sets out top three priorities, economy, education, and crime, leading government agenda, right? And so, like, one of the questions I want to ask, do you think economy, education, and crime are the three issues that should be prioritized over the next 12 months, as indicated by the Prime Minister?
Economy, education, and crime?
Yeah.
I think so, but I feel like their priorities be based on health care in this country. Because guess what, Aaron? A lot of persons, unknown, is in the same situation as what took place here last week, okay? They just ain't saying nothing. So I feel like they should prioritize health care.
I'm with you.
I don't think, because guess what? To take an innocent, not innocent, right, but for having person lost their life over something that could have been preventable, sadly, especially when they leave behind young kids. That bank should never, even if behemoths are not donating blood, they should have and find a way to get that blood, even if it has to come too far and like they bring everything else, especially those rare type blood. You agree with me?
Yeah.
It's inexcusable. It has to be a way. And guess what? They could... These people is just, would they be doing so? They just sit back and wait for something to happen or they don't see what's, you know, that's your profanity or whatever, right?
Yeah, your point.
You shouldn't be able to sit down to that wheel and say, you know what, this was put in my hand by the Prime Minister. I have to do everything in my will. You hear the complaints, and guess what? You only need to have a family member working at PMH to hear what this be happening in there, you know. The nurses them is so disgruntled, and they feel like the public is more or less on them, and it has nothing to do with them, you know. And even the poor doctors, because they only could do what they could do.
Yeah.
Okay? So put whatever needs to happen, put it in place and let it be. Don't let the story just run for this week and everybody forget about it.
Yes, ma'am.
Focusing on 50 what? Yeah. I ain't proud to be no Bahamian. I'm a Bahamian. But how can I be proud when we have so much things? All these men are dying so directly, and we don't even have no young man in this country. I'm telling you, every time you hear a phone go click, some kind of news I'm coming on alert, someone got killed.
Yes, ma'am.
What's happening in this country, man? Let's fix it, man.
Absolutely.
And you're hearing nothing from the people like these ministers and stuff. Get over off these sipping church and go on the street, man.
Yes, ma'am.
Find a way to solve these problems in this country. So directly, we need to have a country to solve a problem in.
Yes, ma'am, I hear you.
How I feel, thanks.
Thank you very much. And so the caller has prioritized healthcare, or feels that healthcare should have been prioritized. There is an article from last week's papers. It's actually the Nassau Tribune. The headline is...
If you'd like to make a call, please...
Government searching for a site for New Providence Hospital. I didn't pull any excerpts from the article this morning. There are too many, but I must say this. If you need a piece of poetry to salve, right, to balm, to be the balm of your soul, to as a salve on your sadness, if that's what you need this morning, go and find the article, Government Searching for Site for New Providence Hospital. It's pure poetry, the most beautiful words. Shakespeare say, a mountain to nothing. It was almost offensive, the statement. Mind you, They caught the minister responsible, I think, off guard. It was commentary as he was leaving or entering an event. I will give him that. I will give him that. But I'm going to need someone to sit with the minister after reading the article, Government Searching for Site for New Providence Hospital, and tell him that he could have saved 75% of those words to contribute to the cost of the new hospital, if we ever see it. And I need you to know, I can highlight it at another point, I need you to know that in those words was what I inferred was, you may never have a hospital, a new one. Anyway, we're going to move on from that. Article, investigation launched into death of Kanis Darvill. That's what a lot of people have been talking about. So one of the things the caller referenced this morning. That's also in the Tribune on the front of today's Guardian. So that first article is last week. Today's Guardian, PMH probe after mother's death is the article that we're looking at. But let's go to this caller, producer. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
A good day, this is Dr. Noyce, so along with you, Aaron.
Yes, good morning, sir. How you doing?
I'm holding, thank God.
Bless.
We need justice, law, and order in this country.
Yes, sir.
You know what amazes me?
Mm-hmm.
They talking about searching for a place to build a new hospital, right?
Yes, sir.
For years,
mm-hmm.
they had a place, someplace west in the area of the Hobby Horse Hall,
uh-huh.
to build a hospital for years.
Yeah.
So why they talk about this? They searching for a place, and that's supposed to be on record.
So that's what we need to include.
Say it again?
I said what we need to include in our interrogation of the government.
My other point is, right?
Yeah, it's for them to outline the process over the last 30 years, all that has been done, all the money that has been sent in the process of bringing us a new hospital.
My other point is, right?
Yeah.
It is so sad the way that lady had died. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
What needed blood. The other thing is, the authority, if they was really short of blood, they could have gotten blood from a doctor's hospital. You understand what I'm saying?
I hear you.
And pay for it after.
Ah, buy it from doctor's hospital, okay.
Say it again?
Buy it from doctor's hospital.
That's right. Not the thing is, Aaron, we pay too much tax money or so much tax for our people to be dying the way they are dying in this country.
Mm-hmm.
It's indecent. It's illegal.
Yep. It should be criminal.
And it's not Brave Davis money. It's not the government money. It's the people money.
Yes, sir.
The people tax money. If somebody buy a loaf of bread, something have to come out of that bread money to go in the consolidated fund.
Mm-hmm. So, Bremen,
somebody need to just take this country and lead it in a decent manner.
Absolutely.
Too much of our people dying and dying for nothing.
Yes, sir.
Thank you for your time.
Absolutely, Bremen. Absolutely. And nobody gonna disagree with you there, Bremen. I've had personal experiences myself with this. It is unfathomable. It's infuriating, right? That negligence, recklessness, a disregard, right? A lack of proper management, a lack of political will, not capacity, will. Is there a meeting, you know, like there's the Hamburg Accord and there's the treaty of this and treaty of that. Was there a meeting somewhere at some time when we determined what would be, like what amount of loss, what amount of loss of life is acceptable, right? Like as collateral damage in the overall plan. Like how many lives can we lose comfortably before it becomes a problem? Is there like a treaty somewhere? Y'all had a meeting? Because y'all like to have these meetings without us. Another point I want to make today, right? Is looking at the business outlook. Why do prime ministers and state actors and cabinet ministers, and technocrats, why do they make these announcements at events like Business Outlook and Rotary meetings? Why do they do that? Why? As opposed to the press conference, right? Director of Communications. Is there a packet? Like every week, do you release a digital packet of statements? A correlation, right? A compilation of statements made by the PM, state actors, agencies, technocrats at various meetings and events so that the people could brief up themselves, the media could have in one space all of these things. You do that? Anyway, I got callers on the line. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, how are you doing?
I'm good, thanks. How you do?
All is good. You know, Brianna made some good points now on the lady. You know, for years I was saying, if we keep losing only 25 to 30 young men a year, we won't have a young man to pulpit and help develop the 700 island keys, which everybody will take away from us.
Mm-hmm.
See, let me tell you something, man. You see, I don't know why it's so hard to fire PSs and directors. See, these people have a job on the tenure, and you know, and more like a skill. It's so hard to fire these people. See, my thing is this, right?
Mm-hmm.
When I tell you, let's go get this lovely long time, but everybody begging, the jungle people begging, the baseball is begging, the basketball people begging, everybody begging. See, if you had the lotto, Aaron, you know, I dropped up something 7 years ago, but I can't find the last copy. I give one to Dwight and I give one to what was it, one, you know, right? But I'm trying to find it so I could give you one and give one to Howard.
Mm-hmm.
See, and I had $250 million for NHI. So, what do we care what kind of disease we have? The money will be there to pay the doctors.
Mm-hmm.
$250 million going to youth, sports, and culture. This money ain't going in because all of that fun is just to have you on the airport and this smart people, what are you saying? The airport is well kept. That's what they need because government started, it cannot look like. Look at our buildings, man. Mm-hmm. Okay, I had another $250 million there marked to go and pay down the debt.
Yeah.
Another $250 million to go and develop the family of islands. Does it make sense to you?
Yeah.
See, we can't listen to no Christian council and this country, man. Yeah. They get about the money. Our people hating, hungry. People in homes. They talk about below. They ain't talking about houses yet. They ain't been no government problems. What are they been talking? I don't believe what people talking to them. See, Aaron, nothing is going to change this country until we get rid of the most, you know. They got this country messed with. Why couldn't they go right there? Now, Mr. Goldberg got all the opportunity right now to mend anything to affect this country.
Yeah.
Don't listen to the Christian country. Don't listen to these groups, these activist groups. They know the wrong things. They ain't campaigning on these things, you know. But the good thing about the whole thing, right? See, when they make begin mad, the politicians, even once who doing good, get World War II, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They get rid of the whole snake. And with that thing that happened with the hospital, you know, the job I do, I like the job I do, you know. Yeah. I love it. Take it. I love doing what I do. If these people want to be believed to stand for the doctor, go someplace and find your own, get your own company, Evan, get your own company. We like women say, man, for the Lord, look like my blood, go watch them. Every now and again, I give blood, you know.
Yeah.
You know, when I owe BTC, okay, the Bible say, what's up, you know? They can do the same thing. They can come in and give blood, every man, worry too much, what up, you man? They have people dying.
Yeah.
Can't take my call, man.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Carla, give me a second. I just want to touch on a couple of things there. You know, this thing with giving blood. Some people hesitate because of issues around medical privacy, right? And the sort of security of the data connected to them, their bio data, right? We've had instances of people leaking information about health status, HIV status, etc. And so it's also incumbent upon the government to create an environment where people are more likely to donate blood. It's incumbent upon civil society to create an environment where people are more likely to donate blood. And this stretches across issues, right? One of the things I have on deck for this morning is fintech firms forcing local banks to innovate, says Scotiabank VP and Scotiabank to allow personal accounts to be opened remotely. These are two Guardian stories. the government and the central bank and the banking industry have to also create an environment where people are more likely to use digital services and online services and going to feel more comfortable using those services. I'm going to talk to that 95% figure in a moment, but I got two callers on the line. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
Hey, morning, Aaron.
Morning. How you do?
I am great, man. What's up?
Everything's good.
This is an open line, or you're talking about something in particular?
Listen, it's I always leave the line open, but I could tell you what I want to talk about because some people sort of want to join your conversation, you know? But you
tell me
what you want to talk about.
Man, you know, Ms. Green, you know, let's put the politics, okay? Let's put government out of it, period.
Yeah.
It don't matter who government.
Uh-huh.
Is the government, how people is say, responsible for the next man, killing the next man? Let's be realistic now. Okay, if me and a person hypothetically have a problem,
mm-hmm.
and I decide not to go to the police station for refuge to solve it, I can solve it in my own personal way, or the person, you know, vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
What role the government play in that? If I decide to go senselessly and take somebody's life, or someone comes senselessly and take my life, what role in the government, your behaving people, what role in the government plays when the next man pick up the gun to go kill the next man?
I got you. Okay, let's take a second here, right? I like
yes,
that.
Ma'am.
That's a nice scenario. Let's take a second here.
Mm.
The government, the police, the Minister of National Security, the Prime Minister, they not Superman, and they certainly not God. They're not omnipresent, right?
That's right.
So there's no expectation that they could, A, be aware that you in discomfort, B, be aware that you about to lose control, or you machinating to kill somebody, or C, be there to put their hand. Hold on, to put their hand on your hand. So I with you on that, right?
Mm-hmm.
I will say this, though. The government has an obligation to create an environment where, A, people could live a life, can enjoy their right to a life free of violence, right?
Mm-hmm.
They got that obligation. And B, they have an obligation to create an environment where people can make decisions and sort of control and navigate their own lives, and that they make healthier decisions, right?
Mm-hmm.
So those are the obligations of the state there.
Okay, let me ask you a question. Let me get down some deep waters right now.
Yeah.
How many family members do you think responsible for their family being in the grave today or right now, or laying up in the morgue? And let me tell you why I say it.
Yeah.
You're trying to tell me, Ms. Green, when Tom going to kill Harry,
mm-hmm.
someone don't know? Someone don't know that Tom and Harry get this wife, or Harry take Tom drugs,
mm-hmm.
or Harry do something or kill Tom them family before. You don't think people know? You know something? Let me tell you something, Ms. Green. I don't care who the minister is. I don't care who the government is. The problem lies within some of these same people who's calling your talks, who got family members, who doing all kind of mystic lifestyles, and they don't want to turn their child. You know they call them, Ms. Green? They good child. Like how I stand up on Thursday night with my good cousin, who's the commissioner of police, Clayton Fernandez.
Do it. Listen. I want you to know two things. Do it. First of all,
ma'am.
You open up, like, you table a fascinating conversation, right?
Yes, ma'am.
And then you go on and twist it and make it even more fascinating, because I'm going to tell you this: everybody's son is a good son to them, and everybody's child is a good child to them. You know
yes,
what I'm
ma'am.
Saying? But that's the place that we need to interrogate. Right there.
You know what I tell people?
Yeah.
You know what I tell people who I know, like they always talk about they child, they son, and you know what I say? You know what my advice to them?
Yeah.
Go to an insurance company. It might sound cold and harsh, but it's the reality of it.
Yeah.
Make sure you put that child in some kind of insurance, because if you know that time bomb what they play with some blow up, at least you can get something back.
I got you. Do it. I got another caller.
It might sound cool, but behaving people, I like to keep it real. A lot of y'all can't deal with realness, but I love to keep it real. Have a good day, sis.
Yeah, thank you, DeWitt.
Yes, ma'am.
Look
yes,
here.
Ma'am.
Like,
yes,
you,
ma'am.
You come in the room and throw a bomb of critical thought in the air. I'm not saying I know what the correct answer is. I'm saying that in the process of interrogation, there's so many things we can find important. Caller, good morning, caller. You are on the clock.
Good morning, Ms. Graham.
Good morning. How you doing?
Alrighty, you're doing a great job as usual.
Thank you, sir.
But that's Pendevit, right? But on that.
Okay, talk to me.
You know, he can never not be political, right?
Yeah.
But these things is happening under all governments, and normally when it happens under the PLP, find all kind of reasons to waive it, right?
Right.
And the mere fact is, you cannot put a person in an insurance in case if he may not know, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Insurance find that person was killed based upon some error of his own or her own.
Mm-hmm.
They don't collect no insurance, right?
Right.
The insurance did not pay out, so the vet cut that nonsense out. And plus, what happens with the crime situation is that, you know, nobody's asking the government to be in somebody's room to find out what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody's asking them to do that.
Mm-hmm.
What is going on is that we are asking them to at least tighten up the courts, tighten up the areas that these persons would know. I'm not going to ask you to stop committing crime. I'm going to go out there and ensure that the pressure I put on you, you would have no other choice but to stop committing crime.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm going to do. I'm not asking anybody who's committing crime to stop. Continue if that's what you choose to do. But I can tell you, our law enforcement officers, I would say to them, would be on them like white on rice.
Mm-hmm.
And they would have no comfort in committing crime. That's what I say.
Yep.
Now, in reference to, I know you brought up a matter in reference to a person who would take the law, not take the law into their own hands, but you said that a person who would approach a person and they're not a public officer or police officer.
Mm-hmm.
You said that.
Yeah.
Fred Mitchell also said that you shouldn't approach a person unless you're a public officer, and he said something about a 3-month sentence if you do, right?
Okay.
Let me say this. I will make it clear what the law says.
Yes, sir.
Now, Fred Mitchell, no, he twisted the law. He twisted that.
Okay.
It's a different if you approach a person and you say to them, and you identify yourself as a public officer and you are not. Okay?
Yeah.
If you approach a person and you say, I'm a police officer or I'm an immigration officer, show me your documents.
Mm-hmm.
Then I would be in error.
Yeah.
For doing that, because I would therefore be impersonating a public officer.
Mm-hmm.
But the law says that a citizen, you can make a citizen arrest. Now, listen to this now.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess everybody would know that. You would be aware of that, right, Ms. Graham?
Yeah.
Okay. The law says that you can make a citizen arrest.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning this. Conditions. You can only suspect. There's no such thing as that you are guaranteed that what you suspect this person is doing, he's actually doing.
Mm-hmm.
That's why they use the word until you're convicted. They suspect that that's what you were doing. You were about to commit a crime.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so what you do is you by law, you can arrest that person and you can take him into custody.
Yeah.
Okay, it ain't no such thing as you cannot take that person into custody. No such thing. You can't take him into custody under arrest. Now, when you get him in custody,
mm-hmm.
the facts has to add up. Just like no different from a police officer,
yeah.
Then you get him into custody. The facts got to show that, okay, sir, did you have the documents, right?
Yeah.
And the person said, let's say, he said, no, I don't have a document to be here. Then that arrest was proper.
Absolutely. You know why you know why I caution people from doing that?
Yes.
Because we live in a jurisdiction where human trafficking is taking place. It's I want to use the word prevalent, and I want people to understand. I understand the weight of that word. Human trafficking is prevalent, right?
Yeah.
And so we cannot encourage people to sort of assume that authority, but we can't encourage people to just sit back and accept that behavior. Like, we need people to be on alert when they see that happening. Because not only is there this risk of human trafficking, there's also the risk of abduction, right? And sexual violence. Do you know how many young ladies are groomed, coerced, convinced that they must sleep with someone because they have authority over them?
Without a doubt.
I'm a police officer. Whether they are actively saying, openly and overtly saying they are a police officer, or they're trying to give the impression that they're a person of authority, right? And so, on the side of caution, in this instance, even understanding that we do have some powers of citizens' arrest, right? Understanding that,
yeah.
We err on the side of caution because there's so many other instances where people may have been abducted or detained and molested or raped under this guise that they were under someone's authority, you know?
But I understand this. I understand the scenario. You drew that scenario. I understand. I hear you, right?
Yeah.
But being okay, sometimes people normally go by ratios or whether or not that is a prevalent thing that happens in this particular country. Not like, let's say, just say worldwide, right?
Yeah.
But that is not normal. That is not normally seen to be the case in these particular situations in the Bahamas I'm speaking of, right? And that is not the norm. And people normally would say, well, okay, withdraw based upon the norm, right?
Right.
That means there's a high rate of persons being attacked or the high rate of persons being in that same condition that you had pointed out. For example, right, you have remember when you cut up beat children in the United States and now you cannot beat them, right?
Yeah.
Because the rate of abuse against children, they thought it was best to not let them hit them than to risk them hitting them and killing them.
Yeah.
So I understand what you're saying, but we tend to iron out the law. We tend to iron out the law the way we want it to be ironed out. Now, there's no stipulations in reference to citizens' arrest or whether you should really be cautioned. But I understand, not that I don't understand your point. I get your point, point blank.
Yeah.
But the fact is, you would know, living in the Bahamas, you would know that the rate of abuse against citizens from the proper authority, I would say.
Yes.
The authorized authority is beyond imaginable sometimes.
I appreciate that. But we still have to err on the side of caution. Like, and here's the next thing, right? I really got to go.
Okay, I understand.
A couple more callers. Call back on Wednesday because we definitely talk in migration.
Yes, I understand.
On Wednesday. But you raised some very important points that we should be able to talk about, you know?
Yes,
and flesh through and reason on. I appreciate your call.
Oh, thank you very much.
Absolutely. I absolutely appreciate your call.
Okay. Thank you. Thank
absolutely.
You.
Let me get to a couple of these texts right now. I see you, caller. Give me a second. Good morning. There we go. Aaron, guess what? If Bahamians can't question suspected illegals or migrants, then don't come on the radio trying to regulate how Bahamians should drive. Simple. Dear texter, I don't know if I have enough time to explain to you what's off here. If Bahamians can't question suspected illegals or migrants, okay, first of all, what's your suspicion? That they speak French or Creole? That they white or they black? What's the suspicion? Exactly what gives you cause, right? And if you say to me, man, look here, Aaron, I was in the bush in Harbor Island when the people, I was in Andrus, when the people was clearing the foundation, da 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 da. If you were there, right, then document what you see and hear. With the assistance of a lawyer, right? So you could document it for yourself and for the purpose of giving it to the state. That's what you do. You just want to be right so you write, or you want to be right so that you can ultimately come to a resolution. That's what you do. Here is the next thing, my Christian brothers and sisters. In this Christian nation, please consider your Christian tenets, your Christian faith, and your tradition of practicing Christianity in the Bahamas, and ask yourself if this is the manner in which you should be treating people. We could talk more about that on Wednesday. Producer, we go to those calls when you're ready. Another text. Good morning, Aaron. A solution to improving public health care is to create a separate government hospital for paying clients only. This would ensure that everything needed to deliver consistent, good quality care is always available and substantially reduce the load from PMH, which can remain as the pay optional tertiary healthcare facility, allowing the currently available resources at PMH to make a better impact and reducing crowding while providing an affordable alternative for clients and can afford to have it, to have an alternative. Okay, dear texter, a part of the problem is that people who can afford private healthcare are still opting to go to PMH public, right? And another big problem that I haven't heard the government address or even like reference in a very long time. Remember when the PHA said to us, yeah, like we're broke, but we're broke because we didn't actually bill anybody. Like we didn't actually ask anybody for any money. And then it turns out that they had a problem with their invoicing system. Yeah, we need a response to the status of that process of reconciling records and invoices. Let's get to the caller. Good morning, caller. You are on the clock.
Yes, good morning, Ms. Green.
Good morning. How you doing?
I'm on fire this morning. I'm hearing so much garbage, right?
Uh-huh.
You know, the thing is, we're not really ready for intellectually honest conversations about anything.
Mm-hmm.
All right? Now, quickly, with as far as the PMH, the pathogenic paradise, right? A&E within itself is too small. And they corral people together in close proximity, even on the gurneys, even in the waiting area.
Mm-hmm.
All right? It's anti-COVID. All right? Just that one over. I didn't even get too emotional about the PMH, right?
Yeah.
But what I want to touch on something that Vic said, and I love your other caller and what he was saying, right?
Mm-hmm.
So a scenario is this. If the people on Long Island see a boatload of Haitians arrive, or any migrant, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the Haitians pose the most problems to us. So they can't make a citizen arrest. I don't need to ask them if they have their papers. I didn't see them land. I didn't watch them land.
Yeah.
So what I'm saying is, this particular narrative, I'm scared because this seems only to be driven at Lincoln Bean. Lincoln was on camera, so no one could have been abducted. But what I'm saying is, Ms. Green, we must be careful of the environment we're creating. None of these ministers, none of you all live in the inner city. None of you all. And unless people in the inner city really, to be honest and come on the radio to show you how the inner city is being filled with Haitians, and you could see them coming in daily, you don't know them, you don't know who they are. But the thing is, the lack of consciousness is a lack of knowledge. And so we sit here and believe it's all good. You have no idea what's going on, no idea. But what I'm saying is, as far as David is concerned, David is right in a sense, but what I'm saying is, as a man 58 years old on this planet, I've noticed that no one is willing to address the problems of corruption within government departments, and no one is willing to address it. No one is willing to let immigration and police officers wear cameras to help themselves and to help the public. The poor people don't deserve health care. They don't deserve protection from police brutality, which the police sometimes, you see, and I've heard some people said, somebody cursed the police should do this and that. The police don't have the right to hit anybody, man.
Exactly.
You're already handcuffed. And there's 15 of them, 20 of them. So what they have to beat people for? See, these people are barbaric, and they are animals, and they act like animals, and they treat us like animals. So I've seen instances in which, take for instance, a friend of mine.
We're 52. That's why I always get concerned when I see other people acting like police.
Yeah, I agree with you. But what I'm saying is I'm just trying to give it an out-island scenario.
Yeah, man, let's go. I was
trying to give that out-island scenario, but I was also trying to show you that sometimes the police disclose information to the people they lock up. They say, well, the fella down the road tell us you're all doing this and doing that. Why would they do that for the cause of retaliation, and then when someone get hurt, they come in to look for you? But what I'm saying is, here's what's going on, and here's what's aphoristic, truthful. The police don't give information on other police on large enough scale. You don't see immigration officers reporting to one another for taking a bribe.
Lawyers don't do that with other lawyers.
And so there's a blue wall of silence.
Doctors don't do it with other doctors. It's a culture. It's a gang culture.
So we're in a whirlwind of corruption, but yet still everything is the public. And then on the other hand, you're telling the public they don't pay for hospital. I mean, some people take advantage of the hospital excessively as they believe they're not supposed to pay. But then the fact that what was implemented, I don't want to hear this BS about the hospital and financial problems, because if the government, my hypothesis is this, why would I funnel money to the doctor's hospital and no one, and I want to see how much money they spend so far in funneling patients to the hospital versus putting infrastructures in the hospital to help people for medical intervention.
Yep. 52?
An MRI don't cost $1 trillion, man. What? The hospital don't have an MRI machine. The CAT scan machine break down. 52. The ultrasound machine break down.
Are you going to cut
people you? Man, it's a failed state, and I don't care who disbelieve it.
I got
failed
you.
State. I go by what they observe. I don't go by what people say, you know.
I got you, 52. Look here, 52, man. We just go breathe for a second. Because I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm not saying you're wrong. What I am saying, though, is it's overwhelming. Just what you're saying is overwhelming. Then imagine the lives of the people who were trying to negotiate it and figure out what happened, what didn't happen, and what should have happened in the healthcare system. And all of this so soon post-pandemic, you know? Anyway, thank you, producer. We're going to take a break, catch a breather, call or hold the line, text us. I'll be right there. You're on the clock. We'll be right back.
Sarah, how are you doing?
Okay.
Are you sure? I noticed you've been down lately.
Yeah, sometimes I don't know. I can't really put into words how I'm feeling, but I know I don't feel like myself sometimes. There's just so much going on in my life. School, friends, sports. Sometimes I worry about different things and feel stressed.
I'm glad you're talking to me. And it's okay to talk about your feeling. It's normal to feel changes depending upon what's going on around you.
Yeah?
Of course. All of us should be concerned with our mental health and our well-being. Good mental health means that we can cope with our everyday stresses. You can talk to me anytime when you feel like it.
Okay. Make sure to update Jack and talks more often and take things from there.
Message is brought to you by PAHO WHO and the Ministry of Health and Wellness.
Here we go. J.S.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Good morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. And you are on the clock with Erin Green. Okay, caller, I come into you. Texas, I come into you. I want to say this quickly. You all remember a woman by the name of Harriet Tubman, right? Anyway, Harriet Tubman. She would assist enslaved people to freedom, to escape their enslavement, right? And in the time, way back then, they used to use the word, an N-word, to describe us. For academic purposes, we're going to use that word right now. Are y'all aware of a not just a concept, right, but a practice, particularly in the U.S., called the Nigger Patrol? It's sort of where the police force in the U.S. arose from. That's where it evolved out of, right, the Nigger Patrol. And what they used to do was they used to go about and ensure that the niggers were where they were supposed to be. They would capture enslaved people who freed themselves, right? Their job was to control and to put fear into the hearts of the formerly enslaved people present in the U.S. And that thing we saw in the video is reminiscent of that. That is why for some of us, we have a visceral response, a reflexive response. That's why some of us cannot tolerate. It is intolerable to see Bahamians, to see other people of African descent, to see people with black skin engaging other people with black skin like that. The hubris of man, what is that, like the idea that the time that we are alive is the most important time in the planet, or that the little bit of time that we are on this planet amounts to, right? Some meaningful, significant amount of anything. And I want to say to my peers, because I'm 46, that the 46 years that you and I have been on this planet in no way erases the transformation. They don't erase or disconnect us from that past. And it is unconscionable that people of African descent in the ninth year of the decade, the international decade for people of African descent, would be recreating nigger patrols in the Bahamas while the Bahamas simultaneously invites people from all across the world to come and play and party and take advantage of everything we have to offer. And sometimes that includes people, and even pay for their bed stay. It is unconscionable in a Christian nation that that is what we're being asked to tolerate. Okay, sorry, I had to say it. I had to say it. Good morning, Aaron. We cannot afford a new hospital. The simple solution is to spend $20 million every year to renovate and upgrade the present facility. The hospital is ideally located and has all the infrastructure needed. If our government can allot $24 million for travel, we can find $20 million a year for a better medical facility. Dear Texter, I almost started crying there, because we deserve better than that. We deserve more than that. Healthcare is access to healthcare is a basic human right. I had a texter here that said, good morning, Aaron. The solution is essentially taking the load off of PMH and creating a four-pay hospital so that people who can afford healthcare can have access to adequate healthcare whenever they want it. And that's making me cry a bit as well, Texter, because healthcare, access to it is a human right. That should be reversed. You build a for pay, you make people who can pay, pay, so that healthcare is available for those who cannot afford it. Okay, Aaron, stop agreeing with these people and about their foolish comments about blood. You cannot force people to give blood. Do they give blood? Have responsible talks. No, you can't force people to give blood, but you can incentivize, right? I'm all for medical privacy, but you can incentivize people giving blood. That's what you do. You incentivize it the same way you can incentivize people to do continuing driving training, testing, etc. You incentivize it. Good morning, Aaron. I have only this to say. This government needs to be fired, and I only see Bahamians dying in the hospital every day. Poor Bahamians dying. I don't ever see rich Bahamians in PMH. Even if it's, good morning. Also, Aaron, do you think persons are just going to let some citizens come and arrest them? The person who's doing the arrest also to be careful too. I wouldn't encourage that, Aaron. I ain't encouraging it. Regular citizens is not going to let another citizen arrest them. That's just not going to happen, even if it's law. Not only do I not encourage it, the police and the state don't encourage it. Documenting those things won't do anything, Ms. Green. In Abaco, that shanty town that continues to grow is well documented and nothing is happening. Let me tell you something about the Bahamas. My social media is filled with all manner of entertainment. We document what we want. We share what we want. We focus what we want on what we want, and we spend our money on what we want. We can do it. With references to the video going viral on social media, Ms. Green, I'd just like to say that Mr. Bain was out of order. That type of action is out of order. Aaron, Prime Minister, gone again. Are the Bahamian people getting value from this globe trotting? Look here, I want to know if the Prime Minister is willing and prepared to have the same conversations he's having with these global leaders, with us, the Bahamian people. And if he's willing to have the same conversations, him, state actors, technocrats that they have at these private sector institutions, the meetings, the events, are you willing to have these same conversations with the Bahamian people? Good morning, Ms. Green. I may not support Mr. Bain, but what he did on PI, I support 100%. You can't blame Bahamians for the outrageous state of illegal immigration and then expect them to not act. Dear Texter, Everybody calling for a revolution, but nobody want to grow food. Yeah? Okay, Miss Green, what you say it name? I can't remember what you were talking about. Great show as usual. Human trafficking is highly illegal and also frowned upon in the magistrate court and also in the international courts. I don't know if it really is. I can be honest with you. It couldn't be. It couldn't be. Human trafficking and enslavement of people has only increased. The Maafa has not ended for Africans, and that's why it's increasing across the globe. Nothing to do with black skin dead. Caller, I'm sorry, I can't take your call. I'm stretching out my minutes now. Nothing to do with black skin, more to do with a crisis, migrant Haitian crisis in our country. Stop it. Dear Texter, you cannot talk about Haiti without talking about racism. Remember I was talking earlier about the hubris of man, and we think the little time that we have lived means something on this planet? We got to go well back into the history. You and I, our 46-year understanding of Haiti is nothing. Nothing. I'm not trying to be insulting or offensive either, Texter. Aaron, that's your opinion. There are thousands of Bahamians that differ your opinion. Lincoln's an activist, and so were you, fighting for different causes. His causes I'm more aligned to. I am an intersectional human rights advocate. Yeah? I'm an intersectional human rights advocate. Okay then. Another text. And this is why we're losing the fight. The same liberal agenda. Ain't nothing wrong with a Haitian patrol. Producer, start playing the music. Please start playing the music. What did you say, Texter? Ain't nothing wrong with a Haitian patrol? In the eyes of the white man, there's no difference between a Haitian and a nigger and a Haitian and a Bahamian. You hear that, Texter? In the eyes of colonialism, of imperialism, of fascism, in the eyes of the systems that still control the world, there is no difference between a Haitian and a Bahamian. So tell me again, is nothing wrong with Haitian patrols? Dear caller and texter, that's why we decry the actions we saw in that video this weekend. It is intolerable. It's untenable. And we will not accept it. If you're not prepared to fight for your country, well, then y'all go somewhere else, please. Because we Bahamians will fight for the right of every Bahamian and everyone here to live a life free of violence. Y'all have a good day. Y'all call back tomorrow. Text back tomorrow. Some more open line. I got the homicide count to talk about. I got the banking situation to talk about. I get the port CEO's comments about the tourism product to talk about. And we had a traffic fatality on Saturday. We got plenty to talk about. Tune in tomorrow. But stay tuned today because Cecil Newry, Guardian Radio AM, is coming up right now.